This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello, I'm Rita Buttle-Jones, Head of DC at Legal & General. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast today. I've been really looking forward to recording it, as there's so much to uncover in the world of private markets. And I'm delighted that helping me today to peek behind the curtain will be Martin Dietz, Head of Diversified Strategies, and Christy Lindsay, Head of Private Markets Distribution at Legal & General. We all know that investing in private markets is the hot topic in DC town at the moment, and the direction of travel in the pensions industry. Now, in DC, you might be wondering why the industry hasn't focused on bringing private markets into the DC pensions world sooner. Well, to be fair, there has been a lot of complexities around access. And of course, we've always had the illiquidity challenge. And we will discuss these in more detail later in this podcast. However, there has been progress. And as a result of the growing recognition that unlocking access to private market assets could see potential benefits for DC savers, we've seen a number of providers and advisors in the last 12 months or so announcing the introduction of their new long-term asset funds, or LTAFs. But are LTAFs the best way to do this? Are LTAFs the most scalable, accessible, and cost-efficient solution for pension savers? So, Christy, let's start with you. Why do we think private markets could bring value to DC pension savers?
Thank you, Rita. I think although the topic of private markets, as you've discussed, is newer in DC, it's not a new asset class. It's been around for many years. And in fact, at L&G, it's something we've been doing for over 50 years in various ways. And hopefully that gives DC members a lot of comfort in talking about this asset class. I thought it would be helpful to start with what we actually mean by private assets, to perhaps demystify the term slightly, because it can take lots of shapes and form. Often, it's physical assets, so things that you can see, touch, and feel, like traditional property, which many savers will be familiar with. But it could also be infrastructure investments, so building roads or forms of renewable energy, like wind, solar, or battery storage. And at the other end of the spectrum in private markets, it can also take the form of investing into newer companies that are trying to tackle some of the world's biggest challenges, like research into healthcare or clean energy, for example. So when you look at it through this lens, private markets could really give DC members access to simply a broader set of assets and an investment opportunity that not only looks to generate return, but also seeks to address some of the key issues in society. And DC savers could really feel that their savings are playing an important part in, say, addressing the housing shortage or education.
Thanks, Christy. So, Martin, why didn't we bring them in to DC pensions much, much sooner?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think DC for a long time has really been focused on the lowest fees only. And then private market assets are always perceived as more expensive, more complex to run, require greater governance and so on. They may be also perceived as being very high risk. And then they require a longer investment horizon. And that can just put off some people who don't want to wait that long. They want to see short-term benefits. The converse is obviously true as well, however, right? So if you want to actually see the benefits of these private market assets, then you need to hold them for a long time period. And that could actually work quite well on the DC side, where in principle, most pension members do have a long investment horizon. And so they could benefit from that illiquidity premium and the other benefits we see in private markets. I think most importantly, however, private markets have been held back by operational problems. There's a mismatch in terms of the liquidity. There's a requirement for daily pricing and daily liquidity in DC. And that is difficult for long-term assets to be kind of included in a portfolio like this. Treating customers fairly is something that people get very focused on. And it's just not as easy a method to achieve that in private markets. So really, there is this kind of tension between daily DC and then the long-term assets. And it requires extra effort to go beyond that. But clearly, with DC getting more and more important and bigger and more relevant, I guess, for sponsors as well. There is now, I guess, a push. DC will just need to get more sophisticated and more investment savvy over time.
Well, Risa, in your introduction, you used the phrase that private markets is a hot topic in DC town. I think that really is why now, because it's become so topical. There's so much attention, not just from DC members or asset managers who are thinking about how to solve some of the challenges that Martin mentioned, but also there's a lot of focus from the government. And that's really brought this whole topic of private markets to the forefront of everyone's agenda. And we've done some testing ourselves and talking to members about what value really means to them and what they think about the topic of private markets. And our early findings are that this private market area does resonate with members, and it is something that they're interested in learning more about as a way of potentially improving risk-adjusted returns. And so given those factors, it's really all of our responsibilities as providers to think about how we can navigate those challenges Martin talked about, like liquidity or daily pricing, to make this a possibility for those members who do want to explore it. And at L&G, that's always an approach that we've taken. We've got a really long history of ensuring that investment options that were once only available to large institutional investors are tailored and accessible for all, and specifically DC members. And that's really what we're doing here. We ourselves have had our own capital invested in exactly some of the strategies that we aim to make available to you. So we've incubated them. We've tested those over many, many years. Like I said, over 50 years in some cases. And now we're getting to a place of saying, so how do we make it that you can explore and come alongside us to take advantage of some of those private market opportunities?
Can we just take it back to the LTAFs, and maybe we look at, you know, are they the answer to private markets in DC defaults?
Yeah, I think clearly the regulator has written the rules so that everyone needs to use an LTAF for private markets. And in our view, I guess the structure of the LTAF, the rules there, they're written for private market assets, and the LTAF is great, but it doesn't solve all of the problems that I discussed before. It doesn't make it easy now suddenly to get private markets into DC. And the problems are really, number one, the LTAF does not quite address the liquidity mismatch between the illiquid assets and the daily dealing DC schemes. The LTAF itself is an illiquid fund. And so someone needs to bridge the gap between that fund and what's going on the DC side. So typically an LTAF would need to have at least a 3-month notice period. And then if you want to use the LTAF to derive some liquidity, asset managers need to hold some cash allocation maybe in the LTAF, or there needs to be some trading within the LTAF going on just to facilitate these redemptions. But that's not sufficient, right? Because there is an additional liquidity need for the daily trades that we have on the DC side. And so there needs to be a process outside of the LTAF to make it fit into a DC scheme as well. And I think our observation is that sometimes these processes are very operational focused. They're not maybe investment savvy. They create some frictions, and that is not something that we think can be there for the long term. It's not in the best interest of the DC schemes. And then the second one is clearly on the pricing side. Some LTAFs are maybe just monthly priced. I mean, we would probably say daily pricing is what aligns it with DC. LTAFs that are really focused on the DC market, you can almost see them by seeing the daily pricing. That is a feature that shows you that the LTAF was designed for DC members. And again, if that is not the case, a platform will have to use additional infrastructure, administrative changes to fit it into its own processes. And that just makes it extra complex. So really these frictions are still there if you use an LTAF, and it's really, really important to focus on them and try to remove them and not just be operationally focused there, and also put some investment savviness in there, make it work in a very smooth way for a pension scheme then to use the private market.
Thanks, Martin. And staying with you, Martin, then I guess that begs the question, what are the crucial elements that we need to consider?
I think what is really important, clearly, is that the private markets make it into a default fund thereafter once they're ready, once the structure is right. We know that most people are focused on the default, and that is really where the private market exposure needs to be to benefit members overall. I think we believe that private markets are a wide range of underlying asset classes. And so it's really important, I think, now that DC just really starts to tip its toes into private markets, that it's a very broadly invested private market exposure, global and then including all of the various underlying private market asset classes. That's really important. That is what is diversified, that gives the most investment efficient outcomes as well for the members. And then clearly risk managing that well and kind of selecting the assets well thereafter.
Thanks, Martin. And so the final question that I have for today's podcast is this something, Christy, that members are really interested in, and do they want it?
That's a good question, Rita. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think it's good to delve into a bit more detail and use some examples here. I think that private markets really provide scope for engaging members with their pension funds in a way we haven't been able to do before, because it allows a much more direct link for them to see the impact that their savings have on real world issues that matter to them and to all of us in our everyday lives. And to perhaps pull out a couple of real life examples to bring that to life, one of the areas that we're actually very focused on is affordable housing. That's physically building homes that address the chronic housing shortage, and importantly do that in both an energy efficient and critically affordable manner. And that topic is just something that generally everybody is very engaged with. If we also look into the university space, there are opportunities to make investments in what are termed university spin-outs, which are really just companies that have been born out of some of the UK's leading universities, from Oxford to Cambridge to Manchester, etc. And these companies back research and development into everything from healthcare, life sciences, to clean energy or deep tech. And when I talk to people about that university opportunity, for example, everybody from members right through to my own colleagues, people are so excited and engaged with getting behind some of the brightest minds in the UK and looking at companies that they can really see will make a difference to our futures. And so maybe to summarise, whilst members might not be calling out specifically for that quote unquote term private market assets, what I do think they're certainly calling out for are better roads, better infrastructure, an answer or a part of the answer to the clean energy transition through more renewable energy access, affordable homes that we just talked about. And through investing in private markets, they can really be part of making that change. And I definitely think that that's something that they're interested in doing. And if I could maybe leave you with just one statistic from that research that I talked about earlier, 72% of the members that we interviewed said that they'd actually be happy to pay higher fees to invest in infrastructure that supported that renewable energy source, like solar or wind farms, etc. So that's the evidence we can see right from our own members that this is something that they might be interested in exploring.
Yes, thanks, Christy. Referring there to our recently commissioned research to find out which areas of private markets pique members' interest the most and if they'd be supportive of investing in these asset classes. So there's a lot more to come on this topic, and we'll be sharing this with you very, very soon. So do watch this space. And on that note, I'd like to thank both Christy and Martin for their amazing input today, helping us uncover the key challenges to accessing private markets in DC is vital if we're not only going to do the best we can to help improve member outcomes for members of DC pension schemes, but also bring them along with us as we explore and evolve new opportunities to help us achieve that ambition. Thank you to all of our listeners today, and until the next time.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of Legal & General Investment Management Limited, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for information purposes only, and we are not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general economic, market or political issues and/or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not an offer or recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against Legal & General in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this document contains third-party information, the accuracy and completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person resident in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulation. Copyright 2024. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In Hong Kong, this material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.